The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! This is the Thunderbolt. The news and commentary section for this week's show originally aired February 3rd on 2017. Enjoy. So I have some sad news this week. Greg Lake of King Crimson and Emerson, Lake & Palmer passed away this week. Rest in peace, bro. The rest of the world, we have a president who has taken political lying to an entirely new level. And what with inaccurate or completely false information constantly going viral on the internet, the Washington Post has taken it upon themselves to promote a new website that is judging and rating news outlets upon the accuracy and the truthfulness of their reporting. Yes, a needed service, if ever there was one. What with public liars dominating the public discourse these days, this would seem to be an invaluable resource for those of us who are on constant quests to see through the media fog, trying to figure out what is really going on. And what with faux news and all the alt-right websites and all of the nutcase rump fans, not to mention the constant barrage of lies from the State Department, there would seem to be incredibly rich fodder for this new service. Yes, there would seem to be rich fodder indeed. But remember, we're talking about the Washington Post here. One of the most effective American government propaganda tools on the planet. this new website is not targeting faux news or the alt-right or rump fans. They are not targeting the State Department. They are instead claiming that there are over 200 prominent news outlets in our country that are all part of a vast Russian conspiracy to saturate the United States with Russian propaganda. The authors of this new media watchdog are calling for the FBI to open an investigation of these allegedly Russian-influenced news outlets. Well, so far, there is nothing unusual or even wrong about this. If Russia is propagandizing Americans, then we should know about it, especially if this conspiracy has achieved the vast proportions that this website is insinuating. One problem, though, is that insinuating is all that they are doing.
Hello there, and welcome to the exciting world of HIP. This is a new departure in language instruction for English-speaking people who want to talk to and be understood by jazz musicians, hipsters, beatniks, juvenile delinquents, and the criminal fringe.
Bonjour madame, bonjour monsieur. Nous allons, grâce à ce disque créé spécialement pour vous, essayer de tirer ensemble le maximum de qualité sonore de votre chaîne Haute Fidélité.
Sit back, relax, and close your eyes.
Another problem is that they are leveling this accusation toward news outlets such as Consortium News, Counterpunch, Truth Dig, Naked Capital, Truth Out. In other words, they are targeting all of the very best and the most important sources of real information that we have available to us. The one thread common to every one of these outlets is that all of them constantly question State Department propaganda. Yes, kids, our new truth police seem to be positing that anyone who questions American policy is ipso facto a dupe of the Russians. Gee, where have I heard that line before? Yes, the accused represents every source of news that I have been depending upon, in some cases depending upon for decades, because over those decades, I have learned that they always know what is really happening, as opposed to what the media machine wants you to think is happening. And because the reporting has always turned out to be spot on, while the lamestream media so often gets everything so wrong, which I suspect is exactly why the former are being targeted. Especially after the Iraq WMD debacle, everyone has slowly been figuring out that our media is wearing no clothes. With the media machine's complete failure to prevent the rump from winning the presidency, in spite of abandoning even the pretense of objectivity, with their blatant and obvious partisanship in favor of Mrs. Clinton, this rejection of the media machine by the voters has struck yet another blow. This is especially true since part of the reason that the rump won was because he so constantly heaped such vitriol upon the heads of the media machine. And the voters were lapping that stuff up like kittens around a saucer of fresh cream. So here are a few facts about our brave new information police. The contributors to this new website that the Post appears so fond of are anonymous, meaning that no one can question their motivations nor gauge any hidden agendas that they may have. They also do not reveal who is funding them. This website does not provide a single shred of evidence to back their claims. They say they are basing their analysis upon, quote, behavioral patterns, unquote, rather than actual evidence. And evidently, one of these problematic behavioral patterns consists of questioning the State Department about any of their endless lies. That reminds me of the Soviet Union claiming that anyone who questioned government policies was obviously insane and thus needed to be institutionalized for their own good. Now, normally, if anyone shows up at a reputable publisher seeking to publish anonymously sourced information that totally trashes hundreds of prominent American journalists without providing a single shred of actual evidence to back their claims, well, any actual journalist would have rudely, unilaterally, and without question, shown them the door and told them never to bother him or her ever again with such crap. But instead, the Post not only uncritically published these claims, but they published them in the form of a major front page story. Yes, kids, in this piece they actually smear hundreds of hard-working journalists without revealing who the accusers are, without providing a shred of evidence to back their claims. The Washington Post did not bother to fact check nor did they second source. And most tellingly, they did not even bother contacting any of the accused reporters to get a response from them. And thus, the Washington Post proves that they simply don't care anymore about even the most basic and bedrock rules of journalism. They have grown so accustomed to being partisan corporate hacks that they aren't even bothering to try to hide it anymore. And of course, once the Post ran with it, all the other media sheep immediately began lining up behind the leader. Chris Matthews from MSNBC, a wholly owned tool of the DNC, and thus a wholly owned tool of Wall Street, is one of many pundits that are now basically promoting this website's anonymous and unsourced accusation based solely upon the Post story.
The last track on Decide 2, it was really great. Dr. Jive always bumping away to the rhythms of the complex.
And that is not all.
Oh, well, beep, beep.
I saved the best for last, in fact. For several large media companies are also involved in yet another scary propaganda project that is in many ways even more insidious.
Oh boy.
This one is being funded by Google and involves the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, CNN, and various other propaganda outlets. And what all of these nasty corporate entities that are so intimately intertwined with the deep state want to do is to set up a privately owned Ministry of Truth. That's not what they are actually calling it. But we might as well call it what it is. They want to start monitoring websites with the intent of deciding who is telling the truth and who is not. They allegedly want to do this so that they can subsequently warn their customers when information is, quote, unreliable, unquote. They want to involve Facebook, LinkedIn, and all of the other major social networks. And they are actually working on developing a Google app so browsers can be warned that this website contains information that is not to be trusted, and or they simply want to make such websites nearly impossible to access. Google search would simply not list these websites in their search engine. Facebook would simply not allow them to have a profile. As flawed as it is, the internet has made the truth much harder to hide. And one of my takes on all of this is that the government and their tools in the media machine are freaking out because, thanks largely to the internet, they are losing control of the narrative. It is known that hundreds of millions of dollars from the State Department and from the National Endowment for Democracy, in addition to numerous other groups, all this money is being poured into various entities that are conducting, quote, informational warfare. Now, this propaganda is allegedly being aimed at Americans' enemies, such as Russia and various Middle Eastern regimes. But as I just reported, they seem to be targeting independent American journalists more than anyone else. Now, these journalists are not only being accused of heinous crimes, but they aren't even being allowed to know who their accusers are, nor are they provided with any specific facts that they can dispute. Now, this is pure police state crap. Kids, I've been warning you for years. Barack Obama was executing Americans without a trial. That is the very definition of a totalitarian police state. They continue to do exactly everything that totalitarians always do when they are preparing to implement a totalitarian police state. I swear, there must be a copy of Installing Police States for the Complete Idiot lying around somewhere, because totalitarians always follow exactly the same old steps and do exactly the same old shite. Unfortunately, they always follow exactly the same old steps. They always do exactly the same old shite, because those steps and that shite so often work so incredibly well. These people rule by crisis and chaos. First, George Bush made the police state acceptable to the mainstream right. And then Obama made it acceptable to the mainstream left. And now the Democrats can't really say anything about all the wars and about all the war crimes and about the police state and about Wall Street, because the Democrats are all in for all that stuff now too. And so, finally, like some nightmare rising up from the mists, Donald Trump comes out of nowhere and appears ready to apply the final steps of implementation. This has been in the works for decades, and they are preparing to execute their end game. Pretty soon, everything we do and everything we say and everywhere we go will be recorded and stored somewhere. All of our personal information and all of our bank accounts and all of our police records will be stored on an RFID chip that will be implanted into our bodies. And that chip will be able to be remotely accessed, and or any authorities that you happen to encounter on the street will be able to scan you at any time and thus instantly know everything about you. And if you piss them off for any reason, they can simply turn off your chip, thus making it literally impossible for you to live unless others take complete care of you. And that would probably be highly unlikely, since such an act would very likely result in their own chips being turned off. They're coming, kids. And this is way beyond anything that George Orwell or Aldous Huxley could have ever thought of. They're coming. And the only way to stop them is to take to the streets en masse. So I believe that it's time to get to work now, kids. Actually, it's time for a station break. We'll be back in just a minute. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. So tell me, Thunderbolt fans, have you ever wondered where terrorists come from? Have you ever wondered about their motives or their aspirations? Have you ever found yourself curious about these seeming fanatics who are willing to mass murder innocent people to advance their cause? Have you ever wondered in what manner mass murdering innocent people could possibly help anyone's cause? Have you ever wondered what the purpose of terrorism may be? Anytime that anything happens, simply look to who is profiting from that thing happening. And you will almost invariably find the person that is making that thing happen. Terrorism is absolutely no exception to that rule. Every terror event must be assumed to be, and virtually always is, perpetrated by people who benefit from that terror event. Okay, then that leads us to ask this. Who benefits from a terrorist attack? Well, authoritarians, for one thing. When people are living in terror, they do not question their leaders. The day after the 9/11 attacks, George Bush's approval rating instantly jumped from just under 50% to over 90%. For you see, the purpose of terrorism is to instill terror into the hearts of the general public, so that they will then go jump into the arms of the nearest authoritarian. Consider this. The only way the American public will ever accept all of the sacrificing of civil liberties and all of the taxes and all of the human costs that a full-on war entails is if the American public is terrified. And the only way to really terrify people is to target them specifically. This is because most, quote, well-adjusted people are not generally aggressive by nature. Most non-troubled people tend to have little interest in unleashing violent aggression upon other people. However, we are most definitely a defensive species. Yes, if we perceive something or someone to be a threat to us or to ours, then we are often very eager to remove this perceived threat by any means that we are told is necessary. And violence is usually presented as the only viable option, especially if it is an authoritarian who is presenting said option. Almost invariably instigated by strong countries that are trying to take advantage of weaker countries. This means that virtually all wars are launched by an aggressor. And since wars require public support, and since the public would refuse to support a war whose only purpose was to steal someone else's stuff, then in order to convince the public to support their war, it is necessary to convince said public that they are actually fighting a defensive war. And this is where George Orwell comes in. Guess, kids, we're living in 1984 right now. We have everything from doublespeak to five-minute hates to a game of musical chairs betwixt our enemies and our allies. Thus, what the American machine needs to do is to convince a plurality of Americans that we must go invade some third world country on the other side of the world because that country presents a threat to the United States. Well, as insane as it sounds, they not only can and indeed do that, but indeed, they have done that several times just over the last few years. Whatever. The bottom line here is that if they want to launch a war, then they need to instill terror into the public. And I am thinking that now that the rump has been installed, they're probably going to launch some heinous terrorist attack on American soil sometime fairly soon and then blame it on Russia or Syria or something. Or perhaps they'll come up with something completely new. Whatever. I see heavy storm clouds forming, and I truly wish everyone the best. Our new president has defined our central economic problem. Corporations are paying too many taxes. I not only shite you not, but this insane assertion is not even being reported as an insane assertion. The media machine, including freaking national propaganda radio, merely mimics the rump's assertion that the United States has one of the highest corporate tax rates in the whole world. That is true. They can actually say that without lying. Unfortunately, they can also say that whilst leaving out the most relevant fact. And in fact, I have not heard or read a single person anywhere that is pointing out the reality that with all of the loopholes, exceptions, dodges, tax havens, and fairy dust that exist for rich people when it comes to federal taxes, the most profitable corporations in the United States not only do not pay any federal income tax, but they receive substantial subsidies from our federal government. And not only that, but these subsidies are often used to do thoroughly nasty stuff, such as destroying the environmental infrastructure that makes all higher life forms on our planet even possible, for instance. They even get tax write-offs for the token fines that their shareholders pay in the few instances where the companies, if not the actual criminals, are actually prosecuted for their crimes. get the rump to get away with claiming that corporations are paying too many taxes without being laughed out of the room. We're really through the looking glass now, kids. Which means it's time to get to work. And thus ends part one of the Thunderbolt, Why You Should Be Upset. Next comes part two, What Can Be Done About It. Across Cascadia, the masses are arising in response to
the Olympia Action Alert
for the week of October 19th through October 25th, 2019. Yes, hope you're ready, because here we go. Our first event is today, Saturday, October 19th. It's an info session, the YWCA Intercultural Foundations Community Institute. This will be from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the YWCA of Olympia. And that's at 220 Union Avenue Southeast. This event was organized by the YWCA Olympia, and this is their message. Are you interested in building inclusivity, social justice, and accountability into your professional work? Are you a person who needs to minimize your beliefs or identity to navigate your workplace? Do you want to be more connected and build solidarity with other people in social justice movements? Well, our Intercultural Foundations program is thrilled to announce an opportunity for you to engage and go deeper through a community cohort of the Intercultural Foundations program. To learn more, you can visit their website, ywcaofolympia.org, and then click on the What We're Doing tab. I also have a phone number here. It's 360-352-0593. Again, that's 352-0593. This is the info session, YWCA Intercultural Foundations Community Institute, Saturday, October 19th, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the YWCA of Olympia, 220 Union Avenue Southeast. Also later today, Saturday, October 19th, it's a bagging party for homeless backpacks. This will be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Columbia Bank Building. That's at 665 Woodland Square Loop Southeast in Lacey. This event was organized by James Blair, and this is his message. Homeless Backpacks is an amazing organization that helps to provide food to children of struggling families in our area. They save hundreds of kids throughout Thurston County, including here in Yelm. I've had the opportunity to work with them a few times over the last 3 years, and I am excited to do so again. And I have no contact information here except a Facebook event. So again, this is a bagging party for homeless backpacks, Saturday, October 19th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Columbia Bank Building, 665 Woodland Square Loop Southeast in Lacey. Also later today, Saturday, October 19th, it's the Olympia Democratic Socialists of America General Meeting. This will be from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Mix 96 Meeting Room. That's at 119 Washington Street Northeast. This event was organized by the Olympia Democratic Socialists of America, and this is their message. We are the local chapter of DSA, the largest socialist organization in the United States. We are working in Olympia and the South Sound to empower working people and create a more free and equal world, whether that is through universal health care, housing for all, or strong democratic unions. We hold our general membership meetings on the third Saturday of every month. People who are new to DSA are welcome, but we encourage folks who are interested to reach out to us ahead of a time at dsaolympia@gmail.com. That way we can provide some orientation and maybe meet in person ahead of a time, either for a quick meeting over coffee or at one of our monthly socials. And again, I have no contact information except a Facebook event. So again, this is the Olympia DSA General Meeting, Saturday, October 19th, 4 to 6 p.m. at the Mix 96 Meeting Room, 119 Washington Street, Northeast. And our next event is tomorrow, Sunday, October 20th. Spread a Sukha of Peace at the Northwest Detention Center. This will be from 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. at the Northwest Detention Center, and that's at 1623 East J Street, and that's in Tacoma. The zip there is 98421. This event was organized by the Kadima Reconstructionist Community, and this is their message. You are invited to bring the ritual and beauty of the Sukkot holiday to the Northwest Detention Center. People will be joining us on Sunday, October 20th at 12:30 p.m. for songs, food, and ritual under the Sukkah as we call for an end to ICE detention. You will be hearing from people who have been detained, build a solidarity for migrant justice amongst Jews and allies, greet people as they visit loved ones incarcerated at the NWDC, and learn simple ways to join the movement for migrant justice. People at the NWDC also need men's sneakers, no laces or colors, yarn, paper, no spiral binding, colored pencils, small backpacks, and small headphones or money to contribute to La Resistencia for this purpose. For details about carpools, parking, or to offer your help, you can email Dina Burstein, and that's at dinaburstein@gmail.com. That's DINABURSTEIN at gmail.com. This is a Kadima event co-sponsored by the Jewish Coalition for Immigrant Justice Northwest and the Seattle Interfaith Migrant Rights Network. So again, this is Spread a Sukha of Peace at the Northwest Detention Center, Sunday, October 20th, 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. at the Northwest Detention Center, 1623 East J Street in Tacoma. Okay, and our next event is Monday, October 21st. It's the Homeless Housing Hub Meeting. This will be from noon to 2 p.m. at the Salvation Army office at 1505 4th Avenue East. This event was organized by the Thurston Asset Building Coalition, and this is their message. The Homeless Housing Hub is a group that is a combination of several housing groups, including the Housing Task Force, the Home Citizens Advisory Committee, the Thurston Asset Building Coalition Housing Hub, and the Homeless Housing Workgroup of the Thurston Thrives Housing Action Team. There's a Facebook event, but no other contact information. So again, this is the Homeless Housing Hub Meeting, Monday, October 21st, from noon to 2 p.m. at the Salvation Army Office, 1505 4th Avenue East. All right. And next on the agenda is Wednesday, October 23rd. It's a co-op policy roundtable. This will be from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Northwest Cooperative Development Center. That's at 407 4th Avenue East in Suite 201. I did not even know we had such a thing. This event was organized by the Northwest Cooperative Development Center. And this is their message. This one-day regional policy roundtable discussion is an opportunity to connect with local leaders and cooperative business experts to identify and articulate the most significant strategic national, state, and local policies, financing mechanisms, and other systems and structures that support or impede cooperative development. I have a website here, nwcdc.coop, co-op. That's nwcdc.coop. So again, this is the Co-op Policy Roundtable, Wednesday, October 23rd, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Northwest Cooperative Development Center, 407 4th Avenue East, Suite 201. Also on Wednesday, October 23rd, it's the Thurston County Game Changer Group. This will be from 6 to 7 p.m. at the First Christian Church, 701 Franklin Street, Southeast. This event was organized by the Civil Survival Project, and this is their message. Are you or a loved one formerly or currently incarcerated? Do you experience barriers to work, housing, and being a full participating member of society due to your conviction? Game Changer Groups are a place you can come and find community of formerly incarcerated people and allies that have been through similar barriers and may provide support. Come and build community with us as we organize to identify what needs to be changed to put justice into the criminal legal system. And no contact information except a Facebook event. So again, this is the Thurston County Game Changer Group. Wednesday, October 23rd, 6 to 7 p.m. at the First Christian Church, 701 Franklin Street, Southeast. So next is Thursday, October 24th. What is harm reduction and why does it work? This is from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Providence Community Care Center at 225 State Avenue, Northeast. This event was organized by the Interfaith Works Homeless Services Program, and this is their message. What is harm reduction? An internationally recognized best practice rooted in principles created by and for drug users to reduce the harms associated with drug use when abstinence is not feasible or not desired. Harm reduction extends into all facets of life, including mental health, hygiene, diet, sex, medication management, transportation, etc. It is a life-saving, cost-effective strategy in supporting people experiencing complex challenges associated with homelessness, substance abuse, mental health issues, physical disability, and trauma. People will be joining us to explore what harm reduction is, what it isn't, how we act it out day by day, and why we integrate it into services for those experiencing homelessness. So again, this is What is Harm Reduction and Why Does It Work? Thursday, October 24th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Providence Community Care Center, 225 State Avenue, Northeast. Also on Thursday, October 24th, we have What is Socialism? Perspectives. This will be from 7 to 9 p.m. at Traditions Cafe, 300 5th Avenue, Southwest. This event was organized by Economics for Everyone, and this is their message. There is growing support for socialism in the United States. For example, people under 30 prefer socialism to capitalism. At the same time, Trump promises to campaign for his re-election on the failure of socialism and tie the Democratic Party and their candidate to socialism. Our panelists, representing three pro-socialist groups in Olympia, Economics for Everyone, the Industrial Workers of the World, and the Olympia Democratic Socialists of America, we'll discuss socialism. The talk will be followed by an open discussion with those who attend. All are welcome. So again, this is What is Socialism? Perspectives. Thursday, October 24th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at Traditions Cafe, 300 5th Avenue, Southwest. And that's it for the calendar. And that's it for the show. We're out of here.
Thank you very much.